Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We'd like to welcome everybody to the Heatheridge 6th Ward Sacrament Meeting this afternoon. Bishop Roberts is presiding today, and he's asked myself, Brother Tom Crabb, and the counselor and the bishopric to conduct today. So we'd like to invite everyone who's new to our ward or visiting our ward today and make sure that you're welcome in our ward. We have a couple of announcements to make as we get started. We'd refer you to the program for most of the announcements, and also make sure you check your email for your Elders Quorum and your Relief Society emails. They have a lot of announcements as well. But for those of you that may not have heard, Brother George Stokes passed away peacefully in his home Monday evening this past week. And the funeral is planned for Saturday, March 2nd. It'll be at 11 o'clock here at the Stake Center. There will also be a viewing on Friday night at the Sunburg Open Mortuary, and we believe it's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then there will be a viewing here prior to the funeral from 9:30 to 10:30. So our hearts and prayers with the Stokes family in the passing of George, and invite everyone to come and participate in the funeral with us on Saturday. We also want to make you aware there's coming up in March, there's going to be between March and April a lot of different Sundays, a lot of times when it's not normal sacrament meetings. So on March 24th, it's our ward conference, and that following Sunday, the 31st of March, will be fast and testimony meeting. So instead of having a fast and testimony meeting in April, it'll actually be the 31st of March. April 6th and 7th will be general conference. And then April 14th will be state conference. And then for those of you not following when Easter is later this year. It's going to be on the 21st of April. So that's kind of a change. So we won't be meeting in normal sacraments. You know, March 24th, ward conference is a normal sacrament, but otherwise it'll be a little bit different. Just wanted to make you aware of that so you can plan for that. We'll go ahead and open the meeting today by singing hymn number 264, Hark All Ye Nations, and then Brother McKay Swope will give us the invocation.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to be gathered here today as a ward family and to be in thy church and to feel the Spirit. We are grateful for the wonderful blessings that we have received, and we're grateful for thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for his atonement. We ask that the Spirit may be with us this morning, that it may testify to us the truthfulness of the things we will learn. And we also ask that the Spirit be with the speakers today, that they can feel inspired. And we say these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank McKay for the invocation and inviting the Spirit to be with us today. We have a little bit of ward business we'd like to take care of today. Following people have been released, Kathy DeVore is a primary activity day leader, and we propose that she be given a vote of thanks for her service. All those who can wish to express their appreciation do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. We've called the following individuals, and if they're here, we ask them to please stand. We've called Suzanne Peterson as primary activity day leader, and we propose that she be sustained. Those in favor may do so by the uplifted hand. Any opposed by the same sign? Thank you. We've also had some new members move into our ward. Elizabeth Noxon has moved in the ward. If these folks are here, please stand. We also have a new family in our ward, the Larson family. First off, there's the Father Jordan Larson and his wife Holly Larson, and they have their four children, Robert, Ava, Peyton, and Callie. We'd like to welcome the Larsons and Sister Noxon to the ward, and all those that can do so by the uplifted hand. I'd like to welcome you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We have a great program in store today. We have a new young married family in the ward, the Bluths, that have moved in a few months ago, and we're excited to hear from them and get to know them a little bit better. Our first speaker will be Caitlin Bluth, and then we have a special musical number that will be given by our Deacon's Quorum and our Beehives. Are going to be singing I Belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. And then our concluding speaker will be Brother Alex Bluth.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Caitlin Bluth. Most people just call me Katie. Alex and I are both from Arizona. I grew up in Gilbert, Arizona. I'm the oldest of six kids. I went to BYU Hawaii my first year of college, and then I decided to go serve a mission. I served my mission in the Buenos Aires, Argentina mission, and it was awesome. Loved every minute of it. Alex served his mission in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he actually, out on his mission, to tell you a little bit about how we met, he on his mission served in Ohio, and I have an aunt and uncle that live out there. And one afternoon, him and his companion went to my aunt and uncle's house for dinner one evening, one Sunday, I believe. And my aunt and uncle have this board in their house where they hang all of these pictures of like graduation invites, wedding invites, stuff like that. And my graduation picture was hanging on the board. So being the good missionary, he walks in, he goes, "Dang, who's that girl? I need to know who she is." Anyways, here we are, 3 years later, married. But Alex and I were married in November of last year, November 17th, in the Gilbert, Arizona temple. And it was awesome, lots of family, good times. And here in the States, well, during the whole time that we were dating, I would always joke with him and I'd be like, "Hey, like, we should take LeSueur as a last name. Like, it's pretty sweet. Like, why don't you just take my last name?" Just joking and whatnot. But here in the States, it's customary to take the husband's last name, right? So I am a Bluth, proud to be a Bluth. But when you get married, you earn a last name, I guess, as a woman. A husband will gain a wife, and you become a partnership. And you both are now working together to achieve goals together. And when we take upon ourselves the name of Christ, we become a member of his church. And there are hundreds of thousands of us, millions of us, but we are all working towards the same goals. In D&C 115, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For thus shall my church be called in the last days, even the church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." Now, each and every one of us know exactly what the name of the church is. It's been emphasized fairly heavily in the last year or so within General Conference in regards to the fact that we, as members of the church, should be not necessarily advertising, but letting people know what the name of the church is. We hear all of these nicknames like Mormons, Latter-day Saints, the Saints, the Mormon Church, whatever it might be. And I guess our fundamental goal as Mormons as members of the church is to use the name of the church correctly. Just to give you a quick little example, as we got married, and the only organization that actually recognizes me as a Bluth is the church at the moment. I have not changed any of my documents, any of my licensing, any of my car registration. At school, I'm still a LeSueur. So I would hope that us as members are not only using the name of the church here in the buildings or at the temple, but also outside, unlike me. So don't follow my bad example. It's to use the name of the church is really simple to be able, if you think about it, but actually doing it can be quite difficult. It's a long name. I remember President Nelson, in his talk this last General Conference, he shared a little story of how him and a companion were out in Mexico visiting some members down there, and somebody came up to him and said, "Why is the name of the church so long?" And he simply responded to them after thinking for a bit and said, "You know, it's Christ's church, and the Lord has clearly stated that this is what he wants his church to be called." We are supposed to take the name of Christ upon us, and to take the name of Christ upon you can be something different to each individual. But I love how the apostles describe Jesus Christ, how they talk of his life, his resurrection, and the things that he did, the miracles that he performed, and also the way that he treated other people. But I think for me, the best way to understand Christ is to understand the atonement, the sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. Elder Uchtdorf in 2018 gave a talk entitled Behold the Man. And he gave a great description of the sacrifice of Christ. And I'm going to read it for each and every one of you. He said, "We must go back to that evening almost 2,000 years ago in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus Christ knelt in intense prayer and offered himself as a ransom for our sins. It was during this great and infinite sacrifice of unparalleled suffering in both body and spirit that Jesus Christ, even God, bled at every pore. Out of perfect love, he gave all that we might receive all. his supernal sacrifice, difficult to comprehend, to be felt only with all our heart and mind, reminds us of the universal debt of gratitude we owe Christ for his divine gift. Later that night, Jesus was brought before religious and political authorities who mocked him, beat him, and sentenced him to a shameful death. He hung in agony upon the cross until finally it was finished. His lifeless body was laid in a borrowed tomb, and then on the morning of the third day, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, emerged from the tomb as a glorious, resurrected being of splendor, light, and majesty. I have a very, very strong testimony of our Savior Jesus Christ. The sacrifice and the things that he did for each and every one of us can never be done by another man on this earth. And it is extremely important that each and every one of us acknowledge this, not only in our hearts or in our minds, but in the way that we speak, in the way that we treat others. I would hope that the name Jesus Christ has as big of an impact on each and every one of you as it does on me. We were assigned to speak about a month ago, actually, and it kind of got pushed back, but ever since I was aware of the topic that I would be speaking on, I kind of started keeping track of how many times I would, I'm not perfect, how many times I would say Mormon or LDS in regards to speaking about the church. And I'm not going to tell you my number because it's a little high, but it was definitely recognizable of how many times I could have been better at acknowledging my Savior Jesus Christ, of letting people know that I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that I am proud to be a member, and that I keep the Savior on my mind at all times. Like I told you, I'm the oldest of six kids, and back in 2012, we had a little, my little brother was born, and he was a really, really big baby. And if you don't know, you can ask my mom. He came out at 10 pounds, 6 ounces. So for you mothers in the room, you're like, wow. But he was just a really big baby, and he kept getting bigger. And up until about 6 months, we called him by his name. His name is Gannon Ellsworth LeSueur. And at about 6 months, my dad decided to give him a nickname. And for those of you in the congregation who speak Spanish, this nickname will be a lot funnier to you, but my dad began to call him Chancho. And for those of you who don't know, Chancho in Spanish means pig. So growing up, we've been calling my brother Pig. It's now 2019, and my brother will be turning 9 in a few months. And it's gotten to the point where our bishop, members of the church, his teachers at school, anyone that meets him no longer knows what his name is. They have no idea. They just all call him Chancho. And in a home setting, this is quite funny, and I honestly believe that this nickname will stick with him for the rest of his life. But us, as members of the church, sometimes we stick to these nicknames so hard-heartedly that I don't think we'll forget the name of the church, but it kind of becomes on the back of our mind. It's not the priority anymore. And I would hope that as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that we would be able to honor and remember Christ in all of our daily actions and be able to let others know that what the name of the church is. I am so extremely grateful for the revelation that was given to a young boy to restore this gospel that Jesus Christ himself had put on the earth for each one of us. Without the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we wouldn't have the covenants and the blessings that we have today. We wouldn't be able to be baptized, be able to make the covenants in the temple, and to be sealed to our families for eternity. I am so grateful for all of the blessings that Jesus Christ has given us, for the atonement and for the ability that we have to, you know what, if we say Mormon or the saints one day, that tomorrow we can be better, that tomorrow we can remind others of what church we do belong to. I love my Savior so much, and I'm grateful for him. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. So my name is Alex Bluth. I just tell you a little bit about myself real fast. Just to correct a few things. Number one, I was very focused on my mission. I did happen to see a pretty girl on a refrigerator and I got an email, so, you know, sorry. Number two, our first date was Topgolf, and I expected to be like, oh, let me show you how to golf. Not to my understanding that she already knows how to play golf, and I got destroyed. So I think that's how I knew I wanted to marry her. I got just like destroyed in Topgolf. So I was like, all right, that's the one. She's awesome. So a couple other things that I just wanted to mention. I was also born and raised in Arizona. If any of you are in there or out there saying like, oh, Bluth, I wonder if he's related to so-and-so, I probably am. So you're more than welcome to talk to me afterwards. I come from a very, 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 very proud clan. I mention us as a clan because we're humongous. I've got like 40, 42 first cousins, something like that. You know, being from where you come from, one of the phrases I heard my whole life was, you know, you're a Bluth, act like one, right? And that was like, oh boy, I gotta do something a certain way. And it's come to change meaning as I've grown up, but I'm really proud to be a Bluth, first and foremost, and I'm very proud to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. Second thing I wanted to clear up is whenever my wife and I talk about our missions, you know, people say, well, where'd you guys go? And my wife will say, well, I went to Buenos Aires, Argentina. Everyone's like, oh, wow, that's amazing, you know. And then they'll ask me, and I'll say Cincinnati, Ohio. And I, no joke, I get this every time. It's like, oh, yeah. So... that's fun. Just to let you know, I did go foreign. I was in the hood, like the ghetto, okay? You want to talk about foreign, all right? I got more knuckle bumps from bishops than I have from like my own friends. So, you know, just kind of give you a little... And then for everybody, like for all the young men out there, when they're like, oh, you're going to go on a mission and you're going to be like completely set aside from everything in the world. I heard more rap music on my mission than anywhere else. Like you can't run away from it in the hood. It's just, it's blaring. But it was fun. I loved it. I had a great time. Anyhow, that being said, I wanted to start on something. It's called the study of nomenclature. Okay. To kind of give you a little understanding. The study of nomenclature specifically is more used in studies like math, biology, chemistry, and it has to do with naming things, okay? The study of nomenclature is correctly naming certain areas, whether that you're giving a name to an animal, whether you're giving a name to, an element, I don't know. But another portion of nomenclature is the study of how names affect personality or behavior of human beings, okay? And I want you to stop and think about this. If any of you go by any of these names, I'm not trying to call anyone out, okay? But I go by Alex. Most Alexes that I know personally tend to be kind of like nerdy individuals, okay? I do fall under that category, but it's common, right? My first name is actually Curtis. It's the name that I go by very rarely because it's my father's name. But most Curtises that I meet are usually elderly men. Okay, right? I don't know many Kyles that aren't like cool guys, right? Every Kyle I've ever met, they're a cool guy Kyle. Okay. But it's the study of nomenclature and how that affects your personality. My family specifically, the Bluths, are very heavily German family. The last name is German. They moved to Utah, went down to Mexico, helped start the Mexican colonies. Very big, tall, broad-shouldered Spanish speakers, okay? And I don't speak Spanish, by the way, but that's kind of where my family comes from. Specifically for all the women and the wives out there and soon-to-be wives, mothers, etc. One thing that's extremely attractive to me about my wife is she took upon herself a new name, Bluth, and instead of, you know, pointing out faults or silly things about my family, she's really honored my last name. I can tell that she strives to make the Bluth last name something that we can be proud of, that people can recognize the Bluths as good people. I can't speak so much about myself, but she does a really, really good job, and she honors that. I have seen some individuals do the opposite, and that can be very difficult on families. I'm grateful that she honors her previous last name, Lesweer, her maiden name. She comes from a wonderful family, but I'm grateful that she honors that, okay? Jumping to the scriptures real fast, there's a promise that we're given in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. In this verse it says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." All right, God at this time is talking to Abram, who soon becomes Abraham, but he mentions that he will make thy name great. Okay, jumping to another book of scripture real fast in the Old Testament. Oh boy, if I can see this. Here we go. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. It says, "I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." The reason why I'm mentioning this is we're asked multiple times throughout the scriptures to honor his name, make his name great, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, Heavenly Father. We're asked to honor the name, we're asked to make it great, we're asked to do the things, the righteous things in his name. And when that time comes, he will make our name great. He will make our name praiseworthy. We can stand before others and people will recognize us as individuals with character, with integrity, with kindness, the things that matter. Jumping to a second portion, I just want to touch on priesthood a little bit and the power of the priesthood. And before I do this, I just want to give everybody just a quick little formula, if you can just stay with me here. All right. The first step is to seek Heavenly Father's will. The second step is to receive his will, which is typically through revelation. The third step is to do his will. We have to obey the commandments or the revelation we receive. And then the fourth step is miracles or the promised blessings that we get as we obey the laws. All right. And the reason why I give this is there's multiple times where we hear that we need to do the things that we're told to do and we need to do the things that God commands us to do or in his name, right? Giving you a few examples, if you'll go to John chapter 5. I mean, you don't have to. You can listen to me. It's fine. But I guess you don't have a choice, actually. John chapter 5, verses 42 through 44. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that come from God only?" So in these verses, he's reproving the people that he's talking to, saying, "Here I come to you in the name of Heavenly Father with the power that is the only power that matters, and you won't receive me, but you'll receive other people who, you know, brag of themselves, and you will receive them. How does this make sense?" Right? actually going to a few more verses in John, same chapter, chapter 5. 29 through 30 says, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." And I mention that because here's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's performed so many miracles, and we talk about the things that our Savior's done, and he says very simply, "I'm only doing the things that I'm commanded to do, the things that I'm told to do." Our Father in heaven can produce miracles, like I had mentioned in that formula, as we seek his will, we receive it through revelation, and then we perform what he asks us to do in his name. So here's the question. Why is it so important that we do everything in our Father in heaven's name? Why his name? I'm not a perfect man, but I know God is. I'm not perfectly merciful. I'm not always on time. I like to think I'm trustworthy, but I know that God is perfectly merciful. He's always on time, on his own time, and you can trust him 100%. If you want to do miracles, if you want to follow a worthwhile life, you follow his revelation and do the things that he asks in his name. Because his name is the only name that is worthwhile, that is trustworthy, that is full of grace and truth, merciful, honest, kind, caring, perfect integrity, perfect character. And that's why we can always rely on him. Jumping to a scripture real fast, in James, just to kind of emphasize this a little. In James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." One more time. "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And the footnote for double-minded reads integrity. You know, who are you at church? Most importantly, who are you at work? Who are you when your family's not there? Who are you when your family is there? Are we double-minded? Where's our integrity? Where's our character? Am I the same person at home with my wife than I am at work? When it comes to doing great things with our lives, we never do things in our own name because we're imperfect. We do the things in our Heavenly Father's name because he is, and through him, great things can come to pass, right? Even if it's small things, we've heard this scripture probably 1,000 times, through small and simple things, great things can come to pass. Even if he asks us to do little small things, great things can happen. So last, I want to touch on something specific about our prophet, Russell M. Nelson. We've all heard the phrase, follow the prophet, okay? Jumping to Deuteronomy chapter 18 real fast. Or slow. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." it's kind of a negative, but the reason why I bring that up is if things are spoken not in the name of our Father in heaven or in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's probably not going to happen. And that's your telltale sign that he's not a prophet, right? Our prophet, Russell M. Nelson, speaks truth. I testify to that. He's a true prophet of God. I can't imagine the stress that he may feel and the pressure, but when it comes to referring to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as such, brothers and sisters, I can promise you, Russell M. Nelson knelt and prayed and sought the will of our Father in heaven. He received clear and concise revelation that this was a true thing that we were supposed to do as members. Whether it was hard or whether he felt he might get backlash from the members, he obeyed perfectly. And brothers and sisters, I can promise you, although it may seem like a small and simple thing, and maybe currently I don't understand why we have to do it, miracles will come. There are promised blessings to following the prophet, following the revelation, miracles will come. What they may be, I don't understand at this time. I look forward to understanding it more as I gain more clarity as we obey. Brothers and sisters, I want to testify to you that I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the doctrine that we teach. I love this doctrine. I love this gospel. I love all of you, whether I know you very well or not. I love everybody. I know that the prophet's a true prophet of God. I'll strive to do my best to follow. And boy, I'll repent when I don't. And I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for where I come from. And I hope to be a stronger chain in the family link of my heritage. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank Caitlin and Alex for their preparation and messages and the spirit we felt today. I'd also like to thank the deacons and the Beehives for the great musical number they performed for us today. Just a couple things in closing. I think the young men have got this down, but we want to remind them 5 minutes before the end of the block of meetings to meet on this side of the building so they can get together and collect trash and put down the chairs and things like that since we're the last ward in the building. Also, like to remind the elders that they're kind of moving around, meeting in different places to see where the best place to meet is. And today they've decided to meet in the back center of the chapel today. So if you're in the elders' quorum, meet in the back center of the chapel for your meetings today. We'd also like to thank Sister Hall and Brother Jackman for their help with the music. And with that, we'll close the meeting by singing hymn number 85, How Firm a Foundation. And then Sister Tara Wagley will give us the benediction.
Our dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that we were able to gather here together as saints this day, that we are able to hear the Blues talks, and we pray that we'll truly be able to take thy name upon us and be aware of what that means, and that we will be able to continually have thy spirit with us and act accordingly. We are grateful to thee for all of our many blessings. We are grateful for this gospel and for the peace and comfort it provides in our lives. We ask thee to please be with those in our ward that are mourning at this time and comfort and strengthen them. Please be with the Swope family and the Stokes and let them feel of thy love accordingly. We are so grateful to thee for our Savior and for his atoning sacrifice. And we ask and pray for these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.